Well, I think we'd just have to consider that the will of the Norns. He straightened his vest. I am going to the kitchen to get some more mead now. I sure hope nothing unpleasant happens while I'm gone. Come along, Eldir. The cook gave me one last smoldering leer.
Flight Loki once for Fimavang, will you?
Then he followed his master into the kitchen. As soon as the door closed, all 9 daughters of Aegir rose from their seats and attacked. Chapter 11. My sword takes you to, dramatic pause, Funky Town. Back when I was a regular mortal kid, I didn't know much about combat. I had some murky ideas that armies would line up, blow trumpets, and then march forward to kill one another in an orderly fashion. If I thought about Viking combat at all, I would envision some dude yelling, "Shield wall!" and a bunch of hairy blonde guys calmly forming ranks and merging their shields into some cool geometric pattern like a polyhedron or a Power Ranger Megazord. Actual battle was nothing like that. At least, not any version I'd ever been in. It was more like a cross between interpretive dance, lucha libre wrestling, and a daytime talk show fight. The 9 sea giantesses fell upon us with a collective howl of glee. My friends were ready. Mallory Keen flipped onto Grasping Wave's back and plunged her knives into the giantess's shoulders. Half-born Gunderson dual-wielded mead goblets, slamming Hevering in the face and Oon in the gut. TJ lost valuable time trying to load his rifle. Before he could fire, the lovely Hemeen Glava turned into a tidal wave and washed him across the hall. Hearthstone threw a runestone I hadn't seen before. It hit Bigly, I mean Bulgua, with a bright flash, liquefying her into a large, angry puddle. Sam's spear of light shimmered in her hand. She flew upward, just beyond reach, and began blasting giantesses with arcs of pure Valkyrie radiance. Meanwhile, Blitzen hopped around the chaos, distracting the 9 sisters with blistering fashion critiques like, "Your hem is too high! You've got a run in your stocking! That scarf does not go with your dress!" Kolga and Blode lunged at me from either side. I valiantly slipped under the table and tried to crawl away, but Blode grabbed me by the leg and pulled me out.
"Oh no," she snarled, her teeth dripping red. "I'm going to rip your soul from your body, Magnus Chase."
Then a silverback mountain gorilla crashed into her, knocked her to the floor, and ripped her face off. That sounds gross. Actually, when the gorilla swiped Blode's face, the giantess's whole head simply dissolved into salt water, soaking the kelp carpet. The gorilla turned toward me, his eyes mismatched brown and gold. He grunted at me impatiently, like, "Get up, you idiot! Fight!" The gorilla turned to face Kolga. I staggered backward. Magic explosions, beams of light, axes, swords, and bad fashion insults flew everywhere, answered by blasts of salt water, shards of ice, and globs of blood-tinted gelatin. My gut told me that the giantesses would be much more powerful if they combined forces, like they had when they sank our ship. We were only alive so far because each of the sisters was so intent on killing her own target. We had succeeded at being just that individually annoying. If the 9 giantesses started singing their weird music again, working together as a team, we would be done for. Even fighting them separately, we were in trouble. Every time a giantess got vaporized or reduced to a puddle, she quickly reformed. We were outnumbered 9-8. No matter how well my friends fought, the giantesses had the home court advantage, and also immortality, which was a pretty big fruity edge. We had to find a way to get on our boat and get out of here, back to the surface and far away. For that, we would need a distraction, so I called on the most distracting being I knew. I pulled the runestone from my neck chain. Jack sprang into sword form.
"Hey, senor. You know, I was thinking about that Riptide girl. Who needs her, right?
There are plenty of other swords in the armory, and... Whoa! Aegir's palace? Awesome! What meat is he serving today?
Help!
I yelled as Bloed rose in front of me, her face reattached, her talons dripping blood.
Sure, Jack said amiably. But man, Aegir's Oktoberfest pumpkin spice mead is to die for.
He zipped over to blood-red hair, placing himself between my assailant and me.
Hey, lady, Jack said. Wanna dance?
No,
Bloed snarled. She tried to get around him, but Jack was nimble. Yes, and quick, though I'd never seen him jump over candlesticks. He swerved side to side, presenting his edge to the giantess and singing Funky Town. Bloed seemed unwilling or unable to get past Jack's magical blade, which bought me a few seconds of safety as Jack disco danced.
Magnus!
Samira zoomed by, 10 feet above me.
Prepare the ship!
My heart sank. I realized my friends were playing interference for me, hoping that I could somehow make our ship ready to sail again. Sad, deluded friends. I ran back to the big banana. The ship lay on its side, its mast piercing the wall of water. The current outside must have been strong, because it pushed the ship along the carpet ever so slightly, the keel leaving gouge marks in the kelp. I touched the hull. Thankfully, the boat responded, collapsing into a handkerchief, which I clutched in my hand. If I could get all my friends together, maybe we could jump through the wall of water simultaneously and summon the ship as the current carried us away from here. Maybe the ship, being magic, would bring us back to the surface. Maybe we wouldn't drown or get crushed by the water pressure. That was a lot of maybes. Even if we managed it, the 9 daughters of Aegir had sucked us under the ocean once before. I didn't see why they couldn't do it again. Somehow, I needed to stop them from following us. I scanned the battle. Hearthstone raced past me, throwing runes at the giantesses trying to chase him. The rune seemed to do the best job. Every time it blasted a giantess, she turned into a puddle for several seconds. Not much, but it was something. I glanced at the walls of the feast hall and had an idea.
Hearth!
I yelled. I cursed my own stupidity. One of these days I would get over my habit of yelling for my deaf friend's attention. I ran after him, ducking past Grasping Wave, who Mallory Keene was driving around the room with her dagger handles like a combat robot. I grabbed Hearth's sleeve for his attention. That rune, I signed.
What?
L-A-G-A-Z, he fingerspelled. Water. Or... He made a gesture I'd never seen. One hand horizontal, the fingers of the other hand trickling under it. I got the idea. Drip. Leak. Or maybe liquefy. Can you do that to the wall? I asked. Or the ceiling? Hearth's mouth quirked, which for him was a diabolical grin. He nodded. Wait for my signal, I signed. Pitching Wave surged between us, yelling,
Roar!
And Hearthstone plunged back into the melee. I had to figure out how to separate my friends from the giantesses. Then we might be able to collapse part of the feast hall on top of the 9 sisters while we made our getaway. I doubted that would hurt our enemies, but it might at least surprise them and slow them down. The problem was, I didn't know how to break up the fight. I doubted I could blow a whistle and call for a jump ball. Jack flew back and forth, harassing giantesses with his deadly blade and his even deadlier rendition of a 70s disco classic. Kolga blasted sheets of ice across the carpet, causing half-born Gunderson to wipe out. Bulgua fought with TJ, Red Coral's sword against Bayonet. Grasping Wave finally managed to pull Mallory off her back. The giantess would have ripped her apart, but Blitzen tossed a dinner plate that smashed the giantess in the face. One of Blitz's unsung skills, he was killer at Dwarven Ultimate Frisbee. Heeming Glava lunged for Samira. She caught Sam's legs, but Alex lashed out with his garrote. The giantess suddenly lost several inches around her waistline. Actually, her entire waistline. She crumpled to the floor, neatly bisected, and dissolved into seafoam. Hearthstone caught my eye. When the rune? I wished I had an answer. My friends couldn't keep up the fight forever. I considered summoning the Peace of Frey, my super time-out power that blasts everybody's weapons out of their hands. But the giantesses weren't really using weapons, and I didn't think my friends would appreciate being disarmed. I needed help. Desperately. So, I did something that didn't come easy for me. I looked toward the watery ceiling and prayed earnestly, not snarkily. Okay, Frey, Dad, please. I know I sounded ungrateful earlier about the bright yellow ship, but we're about to die down here, so if you've got any help you could send me, I'd really appreciate it. Amen. Love, Magnus. Magnus Chase, in case you were wondering. I winced. I really sucked at praying. I also wasn't sure what help a god of summer could send me at the bottom of Massachusetts Bay.
Hello,
said a voice right next to me. I leaped about a foot into the air, which I thought was pretty restrained under the circumstances. Standing at my side was a man in his late 50s, stout and sun-weathered as if he'd spent decades as a lifeguard. He wore a pale blue polo shirt and cargo shorts, and his feet were bare. His feathery hair and close-cropped beard were the color of honey, flecked with gray. He smiled like we were old friends, though I was sure I'd never seen him before. Hi, I said. Living in Valhalla, you get used to strange entities popping up out of nowhere. Still, this seemed like an odd time for a casual encounter.
I'm your grandfather, he offered.
Right, I said. Because what was I supposed to say? The guy looked nothing like Grandpa or Grandma Chase, but I figured he was talking about the other side of my family tree. The Vanir side. Now if I could just remember the name of Frey's dad, I would have been all set.
Hi, Grandpa. Your father can't do much in the ocean, said Grandpa Frey Dad. But I can. Want some help?
Yes, I said, which perhaps was foolish. I couldn't be sure this guy was who he said he was, and accepting help from a powerful being always puts you in their debt.
Great! He patted me on the arm. I'll meet you on the surface when this is all done, okay?
I nodded.
Mm-hmm.
My newfound grandfather strode into the midst of the battle.
Hello, girls. How's it going?
The fighting fizzled to a stop. The giantesses retreated warily toward the dinner table. My friends staggered and stumbled in my direction. Bloed bared her red-stained teeth.
Njord, you are not welcome here.
Njord, that's his name. I made a mental note to send him a card on Grandparents' Day. Was Grandparents' Day a thing with Vikings?
Oh, come now, Blodegarda, the god said cheerfully. Can't an old friend get a cup of mead? Let's talk like civilized sea deities.
These mortals are ours,
growled Grasping Wave.
You have no right.
Ah, but you see, they are under my protection now, which means we're back to our old conflict of interests, eh?
The giantesses hissed and snarled. Clearly they wanted to tear Njord to pieces, but were afraid to try.
Besides, Njord said, one of my friends here has a trick to show you. Don't you, Hearthstone?
Hearthstone locked eyes with me. I nodded. Hearth tossed the Lagat's rune straight up, past the lost soul chandelier. I didn't see how it could reach the ceiling 100 feet above, but the stone seemed to get lighter and lighter as it ascended. It hit the peak of the rafters, exploding into a blazing golden lagats, and the watery roof crashed inward, burying the giantesses and Niord in a million-gallon shower.
Now!
I yelled to my friends. We plowed together in a desperate group hug as the wave hit us. My handkerchief expanded around us. The collapsing hull squirted us into the deep, like toothpaste from a tube, and we shot toward the surface on our bright yellow Viking warship. Chapter 12. The Guy with the Feet. There's nothing like erupting from the depths of the ocean on a magical Viking ship. It sucks. A lot. My eyes felt like grapes that had been lagatzed. My ears popped with such force I thought I'd been shot in the back of the head. I gripped the rail, shivering and disoriented, as the big banana landed on the waves, whom, and knocked my jaw out of alignment. The sail unfurled on its own. The oars unlocked, pushed into the water, and began to row by themselves. We sailed under starry skies, the waves calm and glittering, no land to be seen in any direction. The ship is self-driving, I noted. Next to me, Niord popped into existence, looking no worse for being caught in the collapse of Aegir's hall. Niord chuckled.
Well, yes, Magnus, of course the ship is self-driving. Were you trying to row it the old-fashioned way?
I ignored my friends glaring at me. Maybe.
All you have to do is will the ship to take you where you want to go, Niord told me. Nothing else is required.
I thought about all that time I'd spent with Percy Jackson learning bowlines and mizzenmasts, only to find out the Viking gods had invented Google boats. I bet the ship would even magically assist me if I needed to fall off the mast.
Magnus?
Alex spat a clump of sea giantess hair out of his mouth. Wait, her mouth. I wasn't sure when it had happened, but I was pretty certain Alex had shifted gender.
Aren't you going to introduce us to your friend?
Right, I said. Everybody, this is Freydad. I mean, Niord. Blitzen scowled. He muttered under his breath.
Might have known.
Halfborn Gunderson's eyes widened.
Niord? God of ships? The Niord?
Then the berserker turned and vomited over the railing. TJ stepped forward, hands raised like, we come in peace.
Halfborn wasn't making an editorial comment, great Niord. We appreciate your help. He just has a head injury.
Niord smiled.
That's perfectly fine. You all should get some rest. I did what I could to ease your decompression sickness, but you're going to feel bad for a day or two. Also, you have blood trickling from your nose. Oh, and coming out of your ears.
I realized he was talking about everyone. We were leaking red like Blo de Cotta, but at least all my friends seemed to be in one piece.
So, Niord, said Mallory, wiping her nose. Before we rest, are you sure those 9 giantesses aren't going to pop up again any minute and, you know, destroy us?
No, no, he promised. You're under my protection and safe for the present. Now perhaps you would give me some time to talk with my grandson.
Alex picked a last strand of giantess hair off her tongue.
No problem, Freydad. Oh, and by the way, guys, my pronouns are she and her now. It's a new day.
Hooray for me being right. Samira stepped forward, her fists clenched. Her wet hijab clung to her head like an affectionate octopus.
Magnus, down in the feast hall, do you realize what you agreed to? Do you have any idea?
Niord raised his hand.
My dear, perhaps you'd let me discuss that with him. Dawn is coming. Shouldn't you eat your suhoor meal?
Sam gazed east, where the stars were beginning to fade.
She worked her jaw muscles. I suppose you're right, though I don't feel much like it. Anybody want to join me?
TJ shouldered his rifle. Sam, when it comes to eating, I always have your back. Let's go below and see if the galley is still in one piece. Anybody else?
Yep.
Mallory eyed the sea god. For some reason, she seemed fascinated by his bare feet.
We'll give Magnus some family time.
Alex followed, doing her best to steady half-born Gunderson. Maybe it was just my imagination, but before Alex went down the ladder, she gave me a look like, "You okay?" Or maybe she was just wondering why I was so weird, as per usual. That left only Blitz and Hearth, who were fussing with each other's outfits. Hearth's scarf had somehow gotten tied around his arm like a sling. Blitzen's ascot had wrapped around his head like a fancy do-rag. They were trying to help while swatting each other away, thus not accomplishing much.
Dwarf and elf.
Neord's tone was relaxed, but my friends immediately stopped their fussing and faced the god.
Stay with us, Neord said. We should confer.
Hearthstone looked agreeable enough, but Blitz scowled even deeper. We settled on the foredeck, which was the only place where we wouldn't get tripped by the self-rowing oars, bonked by the boom, or strangled by the magical rigging. Neord sat with his back to the railing, his legs far apart. He wriggled his toes as if to get them a good tan. This didn't give the rest of us a lot of room to sit, but since Neord was the god and he'd just saved us, I figured he'd earned the privilege of manspreading. Blitz and Hearth sat side by side across from the god. I squatted against the prow, though I'd never done well sitting backward in a moving vehicle. I hoped I wasn't going to become the second crew member to vomit in the god's presence.
Well, Neord said, this is nice.
I felt like my head had been run through a Play-Doh press. I'd been drenched in mead and salt water. I'd barely touched my vegetarian option meal, and my stomach was devouring itself. Drops of blood from my nose splattered in my lap. Otherwise, yeah, it was real nice. Sometime during our ascent, Jack had returned to pendant form. He hung from my neck chain, buzzing against my sternum as if humming a message. Compliment his feet? I must have either imagined it or misunderstood him. Maybe Jack meant compliment his feet.
Thanks again for your help, Grandad, I said.
Neord smiled.
Just call me Neord. Grandad makes me feel old.
I figured he'd been alive for 2,000 or 3,000 years, but I didn't want to insult him.
Right. Sorry. So, did Frey send you, or did you just happen to be in the neighborhood?
Oh, I hear all desperate prayers spoken at sea.
Neord wriggled his toes. Was it my imagination, or was he intentionally showing off his feet? I mean, they were well manicured. No calluses, not a fleck of dirt or tar, toenails trimmed, buffed to perfection, zero toe gunk or weird hobbit foot fur. But still.
I was happy to assist, Neord continued. Aegir and I go back a long way. He and Ran and their daughters represent the raging forces of nature, the sea's raw power, blah, blah, blah. Whereas I...
You're the god of fishing, Blitzen said.
Neord frowned.
Other things as well, Mr. Dwarf.
Please call me Blitz, said Blitz. Mr. Dwarf was my father.
Hearthstone grunted impatiently, the way he often does when Blitzen is about to get himself killed by a deity.
Neord is god of many things, he signed. Sailing... Shipbuilding?
Exactly, Neord said,
apparently having no difficulty with Hearth's ASL.
trading, fishing, navigation, any occupation that involves the ocean, even farming, since the tides and storms affects crop growing. Aegir is the nasty, brutal side of the ocean. I'm the guy you pray to when you want the sea to work for you.
Humph, Blitz said. I didn't know why he was being antagonistic. Then I remembered that his father, Beeli, had died checking the chains that bound Fenris Wolf on his island. Beeli's slashed and torn clothing had eventually washed up on the shores of Nidavellir. No safe homeward voyage for him. Why would Blitzen consider the sea anything but cruel? I wanted to let Blitz know that I understood, that I was sorry, but he kept his gaze firmly on the deck.
Anyway, Njord said, Aegir and his family have been my, competitors for centuries. They try to drown mortals. I try to save them. They destroy ships. I build better ships. We're not enemies, exactly, but we do keep each other on our toes.
He emphasized the word toes, stretching out his feet a little more. This was now officially getting weird. Jack's voice buzzed in my head more forcefully.
Compliment his feet.
You have beautiful feet, Grand, Njord. The god beamed.
Oh, these old things? Well, you're kind. Did you know I once won a beauty contest with my feet? The prize was my wife.
I glanced at Blitz and Hearth to see if I was imagining this entire conversation. Please, Hearth signed with zero enthusiasm. Tell us the story.
Well, if you insist.
Njord gazed at the stars, perhaps recalling his glory days in the foot beauty pageant circuit.
Most of the story isn't important. The gods killed this giant, Thiassi. His daughter Skadi demanded vengeance. Blood killing, blah blah blah. To prevent further war and stop the blood feud, Odin agreed to let Skadi marry a god of her choosing.
Blitzen scowled.
And she chose... you?
No!
Njord clapped his hands in delight.
Oh, it was so funny. You see, Odin only let Skadi choose her husband by looking at the god's feet.
Why? I asked. Why not noses or elbows? Njord paused.
I never considered that. Not sure. Anyway, Skadi figured the most handsome husband would have the most beautiful feet, right? So we all stood behind a curtain, and she went down the line looking for Balder, because he was always the one everyone thought was the most handsome.
He rolled his eyes and mouthed, overrated.
But I had the most beautiful feet of all the gods, as Odin must have known. Skadi picked me. You should have seen the look on her face when she pulled back the curtain and saw who she had to marry.
Blitzen crossed his arms. So, Odin used you to trick the poor lady. You were a booby prize.
Of course not.
Njord looked more startled than angry.
It was a great match.
I'm sure it was, I said, anxious to prevent Blitzen from getting turned into a dinghy, or whatever other punishment the ship god could deal out. You two lived happily ever after? Njord shifted his back against the rail.
Well, no. We separated shortly thereafter. She wanted to live in the mountains. I liked the beach. Then Skadi had an affair with Odin. Then we got a divorce. But that's not the point. My feet on the day of the contest, they were amazing. They won the hand of Skadi, the beautiful ice giantess.
I was tempted to ask if he only won her hand, or the rest of her too. But I decided against it. Blitzen stared at me. He twitched his hands like he wanted to sign something ugly about Njord, but then remembered that Njord could read ASL. He sighed and stared at his lap. Njord frowned.
What's wrong, Mr. Dwarf? You don't look impressed.
Oh, he is, I promised. Just speechless. We can all tell that, your feet are very important to you.
What is your beauty secret? Hearthstone asked politely.
Several centuries of standing in the surf,
Njord confided.
It smoothed my feet into the perfectly sculpted masterpieces you see today. That and regular pedicures with a paraffin wax treatment.
He wiggled his shiny toenails.
I was debating about buffing or no buffing, but I think the buffing really makes those piggies shine.
I nodded and agreed that he had very shiny piggies. I also wished I didn't have such an odd family.
In fact, Magnus, said Njord, that is one of the reasons I wanted to meet you.
To show me your feet?
He laughed.
No, silly.
By which I was pretty sure he meant yes.
To give you some advice.
On how to buff his toenails? Blitz asked.
No.
Njord hesitated.
Although I could do that, I have two important bits of wisdom that may help you on your quest to stop Loki.
We enjoy bits of wisdom, Hearth signed.
The first is this, Njord said. To reach the Ship of the Dead, you must pass through the borderlands between Niflheim and Jotunheim. This is harsh territory. Mortals can perish from the cold in seconds. If that does not kill you, the giants and draugrs will.
Blitz grumbled.
I'm not enjoying this particular bit of wisdom.
Ah, but there is one safe harbor, Njord said. Or at least one potentially safe harbor. Or at least one harbor where you might not be instantly killed. You should seek out Thunderholm, the fortress of my beloved Skadi. Tell her I sent you.
Your beloved? I asked. Aren't you divorced?
Yes.
But you're still friends.
I haven't seen her in centuries.
Njord got a distant look in his eyes.
And we didn't exactly part on good terms. But I have to believe she still holds some affection for me. Seek her out. If she grants you safe harbor for my sake, that will tell me she's forgiven me.
And if she doesn't welcome us? Hearth asked.
That would be disappointing.
I took this to mean, you will all end up in Scotty's meat locker. I didn't like the idea of being my grandfather's test balloon for a reconciliation with his ex-wife. Then again, a potentially safe harbor sounded better than freezing to death in 20 seconds. Unfortunately, I got the feeling we hadn't heard Njord's worst helpful advice yet. I waited for the other shoe to drop, even though Njord did not appear to own any shoes. What's the second bit of wisdom? I asked. Njord's focus snapped back to me.
Oh, yes. The point of my story about my beautiful feet.
There was a point?
Blitz sounded genuinely surprised.
Of course, Njord said. The most unexpected thing can be the key to victory. Baldur was the most handsome of the gods, but because of my feet, I won the girl.
Whom you later separated from and divorced, Blitz said.
Would you stop dwelling on that?
Njord rolled his eyes at me like dwarves these days.
My point, dear grandson, is that you will need to use unexpected means to defeat Loki. You began to realize that in Aegir's Hall, didn't you?
I didn't remember biting off any clumps of sea giantess hair, but a ball of the stuff seemed to be forming in my throat.
Flighting, I said. I'll have to beat Loki in a contest... of insults?
New gray whiskers spread like frost through Njord's beard.
A flighting is much more than a series of simple put-downs, he warned. It's a duel of prestige, power, confidence. I was present at Aegir's hall when Loki flighted with the gods. He shamed us so badly.
Njord seemed to deflate, as if just thinking about it made him older and weaker.
Words can be more lethal than blades, Magnus. And Loki is a master of words. To beat him, you must find your inner poet. Only one thing can give you a chance to beat Loki at his own game.
Mead, I guessed. Kvasir's mead. The answer didn't sit right with me. I'd been on the streets long enough to see how well mead improved people's skills. Pick your poison. Beer, wine, vodka, whiskey. Folks claimed they needed it to get through the day. They called it liquid courage. It made them funnier, smarter, more creative. Except it didn't. It just made them less able to tell how unfunny and stupid they were acting.
It's not merely mead, my grandfather said, reading my expression. Kvasir's mead is the most valuable elixir ever created. Finding it will not be easy.
He turned to Hearthstone and Blitzen.
You know this, don't you? You know that the quest may claim both your lives.
Chapter 13. Stupid Exploding Grandfathers.
You should have led with that, I said, my pulse jackhammering in my neck. Hearth and Blitz do not die. That's a deal-breaker.
Njord's toothy smile was as white as Scandinavian snow. I wished I knew his secret for staying so calm. Zen meditation? Fishing? Hotel Valhalla yoga classes?
Ah, Magnus, you are so much like your father.
I blinked. We're both blonde and like the outdoors?
You both have kind hearts, said Njord. Frey would do anything for a friend. He always loved easily and deeply, sometimes unwisely. You have the proof of that around your neck.
I curled my fingers around Jack's runestone. I knew the story. Frey had given up the Sword of Summer so he could win the love of a beautiful giantess. Because he had forsaken his weapon, he would be slain at Ragnarok. The moral of the story, as Jack liked to put it, blades before babes. The thing was, pretty much everybody would be slain at Ragnarok anyway. I didn't blame my dad for his choices. If he didn't fall in love easily, I would never have been born.
Fine, I'm like my dad, I said. I still choose my friends over a cup of mead. I don't care if it's pumpkin spice or peach lambic.
It's blood, actually, Njord said. And God spit.
I started to feel seasick, and I didn't think it was because of the direction I was facing.
Come again?
Njord opened his hand. Above his palm floated the miniature glowing figure of a bearded man in woolen robes. His face was open and cheerful, his expression caught in mid-laugh. Seeing him, it was hard not to lean forward, smile, and want to hear what he was laughing about.
This was Kvasir.
Njord's tone took on an edge of sadness.
The most perfect being ever created. Millennia ago, when the Vanir and Aesir gods ended their war, all of us spit into a golden cup. From that mixture sprang Kvasir, our living peace treaty.
Suddenly, I didn't want to lean so close to the little glowing man. The dude was made of spit.
Makes sense,
Blitzen grunted. God saliva is an excellent crafting ingredient. Hearthstone tilted his head. He seemed fascinated by the holographic figure. He signed, "Why would anyone murder him?" "Murder?" I asked. Niord nodded, lightning flickering in his eyes. For the first time, I got the impression that my grandfather wasn't just some laid-back guy with nice feet. He was a powerful deity who could probably crumple our worship with a single thought. Kvasir wandered the nine worlds, bringing wisdom, advice, and justice wherever he went. Everyone loved him. And then he was slaughtered. Horrible. Inexcusable. Loki? I guessed, because that seemed like the logical next word in that list. Niord barked a short, sour laugh. Not this time, no. It was dwarves. He glanced at Blitzen. No offense. Blitzen shrugged. Dwarves aren't all the same. Like gods. If Niord sensed an insult, he didn't let on. He closed his hand and the tiny spit man disappeared. The details of the murder aren't important. Afterward, Kvasir's blood was drained and mixed with honey to create a magical mead. It became the most prized, most coveted drink in the nine worlds. Ugh. I put my hand to my mouth. My idea of which details should be left out of the story was very different from Niord's. You want me to drink mead that is made from blood that is made from god spit? Niord stroked his beard. When you put it that way, it sounds bad. But yes, Magnus, whoever drinks Kvasir's mead finds their inner poet. The perfect words come to you. The poetry flows. The oration dazzles. The stories enthrall all who listen. With such power, you could stand toe to toe, insult to insult, in a fighting with Loki. My mind pitched and swayed along with my stomach. Why did I have to be the one to challenge Loki? My inner voice responded, or maybe it was Jack. Because you volunteered at the feast, dummy. Everybody heard you. I rubbed my temples, wondering if it was possible for a brain to literally explode from too much information. That's one death I'd never experienced in Valhalla. Hearthstone stared at me with concern. You want a rune? He signed. Or some aspirin? I shook my head. So Uncle Randolph's notebook hadn't been a trick. He'd left an actual, viable plan for me to follow. In the end, despite all he'd done, it seemed like the old fool had experienced some remorse. He had tried to help me. I wasn't sure if that made me feel better or worse. What about the name Bulwark? I asked. Who is that? Niord smiled. That was Odin's alias. For a long time, the giants possessed all of Kvasir's mead. Odin went in disguise to steal some back for the gods. He succeeded. He even scattered drops of mead around Midgard to inspire mortal bards. But the gods' supply of the elixir was exhausted centuries ago. The only mead that remains is a tiny portion, jealously guarded by the giants. To get it, you will have to follow in Bulwark's footsteps and steal what only Odin was ever able to steal. Perfect, Blitz muttered. So how do we do that? More important, I said, why is it so dangerous for Hearth and Blitz? And how can we make it not be? I had an overwhelming desire to write a letter for Hearth and Blitz. Dear Cosmic Forces, please excuse my friends from their deadly fate. They are not feeling well today. At the very least, I wanted to outfit them with safety helmets, life jackets, and reflective decals before sending them off. Niord faced Hearthstone and Blitzen. He signed, "You already know your task." He made a stick figure man standing in his palm. Ground. Then two fists, one tapping the other. Work. Lay the groundwork. At least, I thought that's what he meant. Either that or you farm the fields. Since Niord was a god of crops, I couldn't be sure. Hearthstone touched his scarf. He signed, reluctantly, "The stone?" Niord nodded. "You know where you must look for it." Blitzen broke into the conversation, signing so fast his words got a little muddled. "Leave my elf alone. We can't do that again. Too dangerous." Or he could have meant, "Leave my elf in the bathroom. We can't do that wristwatch. Too much garbage." "What are you guys talking about?" I asked. My spoken words sounded jarring and unwelcome in the silent dialogue. Blitzen brushed his chainmail vest. "Our long-range reconnaissance work, kid. Mimir told us to look for the mead of Kvasir. Then we heard rumors about a certain item we'd need. Bulwark's whetstone," I guessed. He nodded unhappily. "It's the only way to defeat..." He spread his hands. "Whatever's guarding the mead. We're not clear on the who, how, or why." Those all seemed like pretty important points to me. "The thing is," Blitz continued, "if this stone is where we think it is..." "It's all right," Hearthstone signed. "We must. So we will." "Buddy, no," Blitz said. "You can't..."
"The elf is right," Niord said. "You two must find the stone while Magnus and the rest of the crew sail on to discover the location of the mead. Are you ready?"
"Whoa, whoa, whoa," I said. "You're sending them away right now? They just got here."
"Grandson, you have very little time before Loki's ship is ready to sail. Only by dividing can you conquer."
I was pretty sure the old divide and conquer saying meant that the divided army got conquered. But Niord didn't sound like he was in the mood for a debate. "Let me go instead." I staggered to my feet. I just had the longest day in the history of days. I was ready to fall over. But there was no way I was going to stand by while my two oldest friends got sent into mortal danger. "Or at least let me go with them." "Kid," Blitz said, his voice cracking, "it's okay." "My burden," Hearth signed, both hands pushing down on one of his shoulders. Niord gave me another calm smile. I was about ready to punch in my grandfather's perfect teeth.
"The crew of this ship will need you with them, Magnus," he said. "But I promise you this. Once Hearthstone and Blitzen have found the location of the whetstone, once they have laid the groundwork for the assault, I will send them back to get you. Then the three of you can face the true danger together. If you fail, you'll die as a team. How is that?"
That didn't make me yell hooray, but I figured it was the best offer I was going to get. "All right." I helped Blitz to his feet and gave him a hug. He smelled like toasted kelp and dwarf noir eau de toilette. "Don't you dare die without me."
"Do my best, kid."
I faced Hearthstone. I put my hand gently on his chest, an elfish gesture of deep affection. "You," I signed, "safe. Or me, angry." The corners of his mouth pulled upward, though he still looked distracted and worried. His heartbeat fluttered under my fingertips like a scared dove. "You too," he signed. Niord snapped his fingers, and my friends broke into sea spray, like waves crashing against the bow. I swallowed down my anger. I told myself, Niord had only sent Hearth and Blitz away. He hadn't actually vaporized them. He'd promised I would see them again. I had to believe that. Now what? I asked him. What do I do while they're gone?
Ah.
Niord crossed his legs in lotus position, probably just to show off the soles of his wave-sculpted feet.
Your task is equally difficult, Magnus. You must discover the location of Cavassier's mead. This is a closely guarded secret, known only to a few giants. But there is one who might be convinced to tell you. Hrungnir, who prowls the human land of Jorvik.
The ship hit a swell, jarring my stomach loose from its undercarriage. I've had some bad encounters with giants.
Haven't we all? Niord said. Once you reach Jorvik, you must find Hrungnir and challenge him. If you beat him, demand that he give you the information you need.
I shuddered, thinking about the last time I was in Jotunheim. Please tell me this challenge won't be a bowling tournament.
Oh no, rest easy, Niord said. It will most likely be personal combat to the death. You should bring a couple of friends along. I would recommend the attractive one, Alex Fierro.
I wondered if Alex would be flattered by that, or grossed out, or if she'd just laugh. I wondered if Alex's feet were as well-groomed as Njord's. What a stupid thing to wonder about. Okay, I said. Jorvik. Wherever that is.
Your ship knows the way, Njord promised. I can grant you safe passage that far, but if you survive and sail onward, your ship will once again be vulnerable to attack by Aegir, Ran, their daughters, or worse things.
I will try to contain my happiness.
That's wise, Niord said. Your elf and dwarf will find the whetstone you require. You will discover the secret location of the mead. Then you will retrieve the mead of Cavassier, defeat Loki, and return him to his chains.
I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Well, it's more that if you don't, Loki will flight you into a pathetic, powerless shadow of yourself. Then you will have to watch all your friends die, one by one, until you alone are left to suffer in Helheim for eternity while the nine worlds burn. That is Loki's plan.
Oh.
Anyway, Niord said brightly. Good luck!
My grandfather exploded in a fine sea mist, splattering my face with salt. Chapter 14. Nothing happens. It's a miracle. Smooth sailing. I never appreciated that term until I'd actually had some. The next 2 days were shockingly, perversely uneventful. The sky remained cloudless, the winds gentle and cool. The sea stretched in all directions like green silk, reminding me of pictures my mom used to show me from her favorite artist, this dude named Christo, who worked outside and wrapped entire forests, buildings, and islands in shimmering cloth. It looked like Christo had turned the North Atlantic into one huge art installation. The Big Banana sailed merrily onward. Our yellow oars churned by themselves. The sail tacked and jibed as needed. When I told the crew we were going to Jorvik, Halfborn grunted unhappily. But whatever he knew about the place, he wouldn't share. At least the ship seemed to understand where we were heading. The second afternoon, I found myself standing amidships with Mallory Keen, who'd been acting even more disgruntled than usual.
"I still don't understand why Blitz and Hearth had to leave," she grumbled.
I had a sneaking suspicion Miss Keen had a crush on Blitzen,
but I was not brave enough to ask. Every time Blitz visited Valhalla, I would catch Mallory checking out his immaculate beard and perfect outfit, then glancing at half-born Gunderson as if wondering why her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, re-boyfriend, ex-boyfriend couldn't dress so nattily. Niord swore it was necessary, I said, though I'd been doing little else but worrying about Blitz and Hearth. Something about maximizing our time.
Humph.
Mallory waved at the horizon.
Yet here we are, sailing and sailing. Your grandpa couldn't have just zapped us to Jorvik. That would have been more useful.
Halfborn Gunderson walked by with a mop and bucket.
Useful, he muttered. Unlike some people.
Shut up and swab, Mallory snapped. As for you, Magnus, I warned you about taking Loki's bait. And what did you do? Stepped up and volunteered for a flighting. You're as stupid as this berserker.
With that, she climbed to the top of the mast, the most solitary place on the ship, and proceeded to glare daggers at the ocean. Halfborn mumbled as he swabbed the deck.
Red-headed Irish vixen. Pay her no mind, Magnus.
I wished we didn't have to make our voyage while the two of them were feuding. Or while Sam was fasting for Ramadan. Or while Alex was trying to teach Sam how to foil Loki's control. Come to think of it, I wished we didn't have to make this voyage at all. What's Mallory's history with Loki? I asked. She seems... I wasn't sure which word to use. Worried? Resentful? Homicidal? Halfborn nodded his shoulders, making the serpent tattoos undulate across his back. He glanced at the top of the mast, as if considering more curse words at Mallory's expense.
Not my place to say, but being baited into doing something you later regret, Mallory knows about that. It's how she died.
I thought back to my first days in Valhalla, when Halfborn had teased Mallory for trying to disarm a car bomb with her face. Her death must have had more to it. She'd been brave enough to attract the attention of a Valkyrie.
Magnus, you've got to understand, Halfborn said. We're both heading toward the places where we died. It may be different for you. You died in Boston, stayed in Boston. You haven't been dead long enough to see the world change around you. But for us, Mallory's got no wish to see Ireland again. Even if we just sail past its shores. And me, I never wanted to return to Jorvik.
I felt a pang of guilt. Man, I'm sorry. Is that where you died?
Not the exact spot, but close. I helped conquer the city with Ivar the Boneless. It served as our base camp. Not much of a town back in the day. I just hope they don't still have Vatnavatir in the river.
He shuddered.
Bad.
I had no idea what Vatnavatir were, but if Halfborn Gunderson considered them bad, I did not want to meet them. Later that evening, I checked in on TJ, who was standing at the prow, staring over the waves, drinking coffee, and nibbling a piece of hardtack. Why he liked hardtack, I couldn't tell you. It was like a big saltine cracker made with cement instead of flour, and no salt. Hey, I said. He had trouble focusing on me.
Oh, hey, Magnus.
He offered me a cement cracker. Want one? I'm good, thanks. I might need my teeth later on. He nodded as if he hadn't gotten the joke. Ever since I'd told the crew about my conversation with Niord, TJ had been quiet and withdrawn, about as close as he ever got to brooding. He dipped his hardtack in the coffee. I've always wanted to go to England. I just never thought it would be after I was dead, on a quest, on a bright yellow warship. England? That's where we're heading. Didn't you know?
When I thought about England, which wasn't very often, I thought of the Beatles,